Yes.
On the one hand, we're speaking about loving observant Torah observant Jews, and then some of us don't have such a consideration for, you know, the best lovers, or the, you know, we don't come into interaction so much to worry about, you know, he's davening in this shul this way or she's davening that way, so we don't have that differentiation. But many of us may be Baal Tshuvas, many people in Bet Shemesh, I'm not sure about in this, you know, in this patio, but we may have family members who aren't observant, or even in the town when we have the taxi driver, the pikida, or somebody who we come into contact with who's not a Torah observant Jew. Even if we're just keeping it in the realm of Jews, we see people who may be dressing in a way that is offensive and causing someone else to sin. So it's one level to say, you know, love every Torah observant Jew and don't have this distinction between, you know, this chassid and that chassidish guy. But to find it in our hearts to see someone causing a sin or
of
doing
course.
A sin.
That's the ultimate Ahavat
Yisrael. And we have our own family. Maybe someone in the room is a gerut, or maybe someone has a sister who chose to go to another religion. And,
uh-huh.
And where do we get the koach and the learning and the tools to say, yeah, great, you know what, it's fine. You're causing people to sin, and you know, you've chosen another derech. Great, I love you. Go on, keep doing it. I have no judgment. I have no commentary. Perfect. Keep doing your life. How do we do that?
Okay, first of all, I gave one example out of hundreds when I said about, I gave an example with the sects in our religion. But there are hundreds of different examples of where I can actually practice my tolerance and Ahavat Yisrael to another Jew, and even a non-Jew. When a person goes completely away from the way of the Torah, then I have in one way an obligation not to like what he's doing, and I have to prove him wrong. But my obligation is to hate his acts, not to hate his soul. Now, if I will approach that individual with judgment and with hate or with any negative way, I'm never going to be able to affect that person. Which means if I have a family member, you're right, probably in this small area, each and every one of us has at least one person in the family that is not religious or went completely to a different path. I'm sure if we'll make a vote now, everybody will raise their hand. The point is that that's done on purpose. Now, if I'm going to approach now my sister, that she's totally against religion, that mocks the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that does everything deliberately, or anyone, first of all, if I would approach that person with a 1% of judgment or hate, my efforts will not be able to do anything. Because if I'm coming to help another person, if I'm coming with a little bit of a little ego or anger or whatever, or some superiority, or I'm better than you, my words will never penetrate through the iron dome of that individual. I have to rise above my level of saying, yes, I hate the person's acts. I don't have any problem with hating what he does. But the neshama inside, I have no right of hating that neshama because I was once like that. And even if I wasn't once like that, then I have the zchut. I have to thank the Kadosh Baruch Hu 50 billion times a day that I have the zchut to see the truth and to have my eyes open and not to be in exile in my own life. So who am I to come and judge another person and say, you are doing wrong? Now if I'm going to come with any type of motion of superiority, or I'm more right than you, or whatever, it doesn't matter right now who's right. That's never going to work. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Im gvar tamim titamam. If a person is tamim, you're going to be tamim with him. Tamim means innocent, that he's accepting what you have to say. Aval im ikesh, titpatal. Somebody who's ikesh, who's stubborn, not necessarily arguing with you, stubborn in his ways, titpatal. Titpatal means going all sorts of tricky ways. So if I need to affect now another person that is in his own personal exile, and I'm coming and approaching him with, you're wrong. Nothing's going to happen. But if I accept another person as equal to me, the fact that I do more mitzvot than him, that's because the Kadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to do mitzvot. If the Kadosh Baruch Hu will not allow me to do mitzvot, I will wake up in the morning like a piece of board. I'm not going to be able to move. So the fact that I'm allowed putting tefillin in the morning, is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, allow him to put tefillin. If not, I will have I don't know how you say it in English even, my hand will stop working. So the fact that I'm allowed to do a mitzvah, it's only from the kindness of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It has nothing to do with me. I have to say, why do I say a blessing? Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It's basically saying, thank you for the opportunity that you give me this chut to serve you. That's really what I need to see. When I'm now coming and taking a cup and I'm saying, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam Shehakol Nehiyah Midvaro, I'm basically saying, in other words, and that should be my kavanah, I cannot believe it that you gave me teeth to chew my food. And I cannot believe it that you gave me the ability that my body will function in a natural way, that the water will go into the right place. Some people are eating through machines. We don't live like that. We don't accept that the Kadosh Baruch Hu every second is doing a miracle with me, and the fact that I have even the opportunity to do a mitzvah, that's a great merit. So if another person is in his own exile, and they're stuck in their klipa, in their shell, in their husk, I have no right to coming and pointing that person and say, oh, he's doing wrong. Lehefer, I should arouse unconditional mercy and say, I can't believe it. Let's see how I'm helping that person. And the only way I can help that person, only with love. Only with love. Milim sheyotzot milev nichnasot elev. The words that come out of your heart will go into the heart. So hold on for 1 second. The thing is that we are obligated, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu puts in our life the cab driver that is not observant, the sister that goes off and marries a non-Jew, whatever. There's millions of scenarios. Not for me to come and arouse hate or anger or say I'm much better. Le'efech is to say, I can't believe it, what a merit I have. I was lucky enough to have my eyes open and to have the common sense to understand where am I going out to another person that doesn't know nothing and approaching him in the most loving and understanding way that I'll be able to put my seed in. And just on this way, I was on the way here, we were talking about exactly about this issue, and I gave an example that there was a lady that grew up in Yerushalayim, super Haredi, and she totally resented the whole religion. She went totally off the derech, including her 7 brothers. Why? Because when they were kids, they were educated on Shabbat. When you see a car driving, it's to throw stones at the car and to throw diapers full of junk in the car, on the car. And she resented the religion so much that she went so far away that by luck, she somehow got to one of my lectures. And I invited her to Shabbat. She couldn't believe that I'm even inviting her to my Shabbat table. Now, to make a very, very long story short, she was dating a non-Jew and she got pregnant from the non-Jew, and the non-Jew just ran away. And I was, you know, I didn't see any difference in her. I told her, you can come to our Shabbats, you don't have to wear the dress, you can sit, just come to my Shabbat table. Month later, when she started wearing, it started becoming more tznua, and eating kosher, and starting to keep Shabbat, and slowly, slowly, that's what brought her back. Later on, she told me, you know, that you were the only one, and the first one that accepted me, with a belly, without a husband, that came from a goy, that my shirt was totally open, you didn't see me different, and only because you accepted me and talked to me, and gee, that's what caused me to come closer. And now, she's dressed modest. You know what really triggered her? Because she said, if I'm going to tell anyone now that I got pregnant and I'm not married, I'm going to be completely disowned from my family. You told me that I'm a tzaddikah, that I didn't do an abortion. Because I told her, wow, you know, you decided not to do an abortion? Jeez, unbelievable! A normal human being will right away do an abortion. And I told her, you are at mamash tzaddikah, she lost it apala. You are tzaddikah, that you didn't apala. She told me that's what completely shifted my way of thought. So the point is, to make a very long story short, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is putting in front of me constantly the right people that is going to be just like that easy to disqualify and say he's a kofir, he's not following the Torah. Who am I to judge? Who am I? Am I so perfect? Am I doing everything exactly how it is? Is my mouth shut all day long and I don't say lies in Lashon Hara? Am my eyes stuck into a book all day long? No. I can say on myself that I'm not. So how dare I go and look at another person and say, oh, Hashem, no. Lehefer, the Kadosh Baruch Hu puts in front of you the people that you have to go and affect. Bechlal, the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, says that if you see a fault in somebody else, that fault is in you. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu puts a mirror in front of you and says, don't touch that other person. Work on the fault that's in you. See, if you see a person going out with a non-Jew, it means that inside of you, in a very fine way, your neshama has a tendency to some type of idol worship, some type of something that is away from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like going with another Jew. Don't judge that other person. They're stuck in their own exile. Help that other person. First of all, if you already saw it, it means something in a very fine way is in that way in you. But then the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, now take all the Torah that you learned and go out there and affect that person in a loving and understanding and a patient way. Because if you do it with just that much of an ego, it's not going to work. You're going to push that person away. You come with unbelievable understanding. Of course, there has to be limits. What I'm saying now is a very general way. I mean, you can't have things going on in your house. You have to put some limits. And sometimes you have to go out of your dalodamot, you're out of your area to help that other person. This is what I'm giving you now as a very general answer, because a lot of people say, no, you can't bring this thing into my house. Yeah, okay, so you can't bring it into the house, so you go out. The point is that not too long ago, and I want to cut it short so other people can ask their questions. Not too long ago, a lady saw me in a lecture, and she told me, she called me later on, and she told me, listen, my son is dating a Palestinian girl, and you have to help him. And every rabbi that I sent him, he kicked him away from there. And I was like, what do you think, I'm a miracle maker? If all the rabbis failed, why should I not? No, you have to help him, and he's dating this Palestinian, and of course, not in Israel, in America. Long story short, I was like, how am I going to go? I'm going to go into him looking like this. He's really going to listen to me. So I told her, I started asking her questions, long story short. I told her, where does he work? He works in this. What does he do? He's a hair designer, hairdresser. So I told him, listen, I can't walk into that place because it's not shayach for me to walk into a salon with women there doing their nails and their hair. I mean, it's not going to look shayach even. So I sent one of my spies. I sent one of my guys without a beard that looks completely secular to go in and started to get friendly with him. That person really didn't want to go there. He said, oh, so listen, it's another Ksenia's place. So we went there, maybe he doesn't have a long beard. I told him, listen, you're undercover right now. You are going behind enemy lines like a Mossad, and you now have to go and get this guy out. I can't go in there because I'm pretty obvious. I can't go in with a black capota into a beauty salon full of women. It's going to look like, right away I'm going to blow my cover. You don't have a beard. You put your denim clothes on. You move your kippah for 5 minutes. Don't pretend, oh, so 5 minutes you'll be without a kippah. Big deal. You go in there like an undercover agent, and you start getting friendly with this guy. And you know what? A year later, we were able to slowly pull him out, only with love, and only with patience, and only with understanding. And yes, and we met his Palestinian girlfriend. So what? If I would reject him because he's dating a Palestinian woman, he would probably be finding himself down in Gaza and I don't know what. So sometimes you have to go out of your comfort zone. You have to put your life in risk. You have to put your Avodat Hashem on the edge and say, Hashem, I'm going to save a soul right now. I have a friend, I'm not going to mention the name. His job, he's known, he's very, very famous. He was the cult cracker. He would go into churches and into places to pull these people out. You can't even imagine what this guy does. He used to go and hang out in churches to find the Jews in there and to get friendly with them. Excuse me? No, it doesn't matter. We're not going to mention names. Even something positive, there can be some Lashon Hara about it. So a certain individual, the Mesirut Nefesh, took the yarmulke off, get dressed a certain way, did shave his beard with a machine, of course, so he can go into a church and get chummy with everybody and find out who are the Jews and to pull them out. And he pulled out people. You can't even imagine from where he pulled them out. So I'm not saying everybody should go and do that. This is, you can't put yourself in danger. But what I'm saying here is that sometimes you have to go out of your comfort zone and out of your safe zone to say, wait, I have a mission here. I have to go and help that certain individual. I'll find the right way according to the Torah, that I'm not going and chas v'shalom doing any averot, but I have an obligation to save that Jew. This is a promise from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Zohar even says that if you save another soul, it's like as if you created that soul. That's the ma'ala here. So when the Kadosh Baruch Hu puts a situation in my life that my family member is in such exile, that's only for me to get my act together, to get a lot of energy from my Torah and mitzvot, and say, okay, I need a plan here. How am I getting, I'm behind enemy lines, to this guy to bring that person back. And you know how many goyim were sitting in my Shabbos table, and I even got heterim from Rabbanim to get goyim into my Pesach table, just to bring that Jew to come and hear Seder and eat matzah. So sometimes you have to go way behind the enemy lines to just pull one soul. So you get dirty. Yeah, when a mitabeki menuval mitnavel beatzmo, a person that fights with somebody dirty, he will get dirty. Yeah. But look at that, you save another soul. I mean, this in the eyes of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, there's nothing greater than that. So Kadosh Baruch Hu wakes up. You mentioned, maybe a lot of us here are Balei Tshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu wakes up one from each family. So you have a whole family to go in effect now. Once you get your education, your Torah education, you get your power, now go out. Because you know where you came from, you know the language, you know how to approach. Take now a Haredi person that born and raised in Mea Shearim, put him in Tel Aviv to do Kiruv, he doesn't even know how to talk to the person. He's going to be kicked out of there in 1 second. Now a certain organization, they want me to come to Tel Aviv, they have this whole movement going on in Tel Aviv, Shabbat in Tel Aviv, they have like this fancy name. You think they can bring a Haredi rabbi that grew up all his life from? No, they need somebody who grew up in Israel, that his body is full of tattoos, that was in the army, that knows how to talk the language, that, oh, now I have a common denominator. Now I can actually reach to another person. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu fishes us from different places. He gives you your training. Now go out. And you do it with 100% humbleness. The first one who did Kuruv is Avraham Avinu. And he was the most humble person. I can't say the most because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most. But Avraham Avinu says, Ani kafar v'efer, I'm nothing. So he was the first one who did Kiruv. But one of the dominating people in our history that did Kiruv is Aaron HaKohen. And he did that only with love. He was the ultimate chesed. And he was able to come to affect another person only when you really, really love that person, you'll be able to help him. If you don't love that person deep down inside, and the way to love that person is to understand that behind this show and inside that body is hidden a neshama that is screaming, help me, help me. I'm stuck in this mud. Help me. You can help me. And you have to talk to the neshama, not to the body. You can't talk to a body. A body is a klipa. Doesn't hear it. You have to talk to the neshama. And there's many, many ways how to affect it. The point is that here is the real Avat Israel. So take another person that you don't know, or you do know, that one, the ego right away will be like, oh, I'm much better than him because I put tefillin on today. No. To humble yourself, and that's why you, how you're really, really going to affect another person. That's the ultimate Avat Israel. Yes.
The beautiful, long, detailed.
Baruch Hashem. I tried to make it short. That in itself is a course.
Sign me up for the course.
The point is that we are all shlichim of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave each and every one of us the zchut. It's a zchut. If you don't wake up in the morning and you thank Hashem 50 times that you woke up, most people wake up, they say Modi Ani in the speed of light. You know? And right away, no, I don't know many people, they wake up in the morning and they're like, I'm back! Yeah. I can't believe it! Who wakes up like that?
I do.
Okay, some people do. I actually got an email not too long ago from a woman who told me you're wrong because I wake up like that in the morning. But the point is that every second of the day, we have to be so appreciative to the Kadosh Baruch Hu that my hand can move. I can't believe it. I can actually move my hand and do something with it. So we are very lucky. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the merit that we have a little bit of common sense, not a lot, a little bit. Then take this common sense that you have and go and find another Jew and really help that other Jew and make it your mission. And the reason why we were chosen to be a Baal Tshuva is not for my own merit. The Mishnah says, Zchut HaRabim Mesayatam. The fact that I'm going to take what Hashem gave me and now I'm going to apply it to somebody else. If I keep myself in a yeshiva all day long, I beat the point. The point is to go do a quick course and then to go out. Yes.